keep in prayer, if you would, for different people who need God's help. Jeff Prindle, Shelley's husband, had been in the hospital all week, losing blood big time, was in quite a bad condition for a number of days in intensive care, and somewhat stabilized and just picking up strength, maybe home today, maybe not. The strength and the blood loss has to cease, and they got a handle on that, so we thank God for that. Pray for Jeff and Shelley. Very rough week for both of them. And then Dennis Giarnelli going back for chemo this week, for God's help and strength to continue to be with him, and other folks needing God's care. Thinking about the grace of God, which is very strong in our lives, was a major, apparently the major work ethic of the Apostle Paul, according to this passage. I don't know whether you ever thought of grace as something that helps you be a good Christian worker. Ron mentioned work ethic in his testimony. Senior high Sunday school teacher one day asked the class, what's the difference between justice and mercy and grace from God? And the class looked rather dumbfounded, but one boy raised his hand and said, well, justice is when you're speeding in the car and the policeman stops you and gives you a ticket because of your speeding. That's justice. That's totally fair. That's totally right. You know, nobody's going to argue with that. He said, mercy is when you speed in your car, the policeman stops you, he gives you a warning, and he lets you go, and you don't get what you deserve. Okay, you get a break, as it were, and he does that and shows himself to be merciful. And he said, grace is when the policeman stops you, you've been speeding. He said, you've been speeding, I'm going to pay for your ticket. And besides that, you don't realize this, but I'm actually a relative of yours that you have not met yet, and I want you to know that I'm gonna protect you as a policeman in this town, and I'm gonna be the personal bodyguard for your whole family, and when you're done with schooling, you could come and work on the police force. What I do, you could be involved with. And the young man said, "Boy, am I glad you stopped me." You know, the grace of God given to folks who are undeserving, the goodness of Christ and who he is. And the Apostle Paul would say this, what do you have that you did not receive? Can you think of anything in the Christian life you have that you didn't receive from God? And so that's the grace of God that can change a life. When Spurgeon preached on grace, he said, God gives us grace to call us, grace to pardon us, grace to preserve us, grace to perfect us. That is, eventually we get to go and be with Christ. He said, thieves are made honest, drunkards are made sober, liars are made truthful, the lazy are made zealous, the hateful are made loving, children of hell are made children of God. Through the grace of God, the gift for what Christ would give. And Paul gives his testimony about grace, his conversion, as it were, in different times in the Bible, three times in the book of Acts, once in 1 Timothy, once in Galatians chapter 1. It's good to look at those. And once in 1 Corinthians 15 here. And so part of his testimony is, hey, Jesus appeared to me and he made me a follower of his, and I don't even deserve to be a follower of his. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I was able to work really, really, really hard because of God's grace. It wasn't I who did this work, but rather it was the grace of God within me. So quite a powerful thing that Paul admired about the undeserved favor of God in his life. He associated with not only salvation, but growth, Christian maturity, getting stronger in Christ. He saw that as the grace of God too. He says, of all the church leaders in the early church back then, he worked hardest, and it was the grace of God in him. So if you want to be a Christian with a great work ethic, who's very committed to Christ, who is, you know, sold out, surrendered to him, Paul would say, the grace of God will help you. The grace of God won't be a reason for apathy. A lot of Christians feel that way. They say, well, if you talk about, you know, God's goodness to you, people are going to kind of slough off. It didn't happen to Paul. If it happens to you and me, that's on us. It's not on grace. It was the grace of God that made him determined and thankful and so glad to serve the Lord. Billy Graham's grandson wrote a book of the year for Christianity Today in 2012. It was on God's grace. He said, grace is unconditional, uncontrollable, scandalous, and wild. Okay, so that's more than we can expect. And in church history, there's been a number of times where God's grace was kind of put to the test. Every 100 years or so, it does happen. First one happened in Acts chapter 15, pretty early in the life of the church. Christians gathered together and they said, well, how are we supposed to be a Christian? We got all these Jewish laws and ceremonies that we have here, and then we have Christ. And we know these point to Christ, but are these necessary for our salvation? And you know what they came up with? He said, Christ alone. That you didn't have to go and have ceremonial this and ceremonial that to be a real Christian. You'd be surprised how many Christians today want ceremonial this and ceremonial that. And those things aren't going to hurt us if they just point us to the Lord. But sometimes they become bigger than the Lord himself. So the first test, church passed that, 1500 A.D., another big test. How is a person going to be right with God? That was the question before God's people. And one group said, you're at peace with God, you receive salvation and go to heaven by Jesus plus your works. Okay, so you got to do, keep doing. And do better. And don't sin. And do good things. And that's good preaching, you know. Don't sin and do good things. And the other group said, you receive salvation as a gift. The gift of Christ alone. And he could change your life. And that group that mentioned the grace of God alone won the day in terms of the history of the church that the gals were singing about so well. What does the church, how does the church stand? Well, you look at Christians, you know, you're not going to look at Christians and say, man, they're going to stand when everything else falls. But if you look at the foundation of believers, who is Christ, his gospel salvation, then you'll say, nah, I think they cannot last any evil or any difficulty in history. And so the grace of God, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Make that the testimony of your soul, because the struggle that happened in church history happens in the soul of every believer. When we say, maybe it's, you know, this Christian life is all about what I do. It's about who you trust. And then your feet will follow your heart. The grace of God will be given to you. Often we're like Job's friends. Remember Job's friends? They weren't very friendly. He was going through terrible times. And they came to Job and they said, hey, Job, good people get good stuff. Bad people get bad stuff. Right? Some of us, that's what we think is the sum total of the gospel. Good people get good stuff. Bad people get bad stuff. Job pretty much said, hit the road. Are you guys a bunch of Hindus or what? You know, because that's what that's taught. But rather, God intervening, the grace of God to help the undeserving, the grace of God to heal the hurting, the grace of God to give good stuff to bad people, people who have done wrong. He came to save sinners. Paul said, I'm the chief. And so Paul worked hard and was so glad. Just a couple applications. Sometimes we could see the grace of God in the big picture and then apply it to our souls as we walk with him. Look at God's works of grace that are big. And we would all say, amen. If he didn't do that, it'd never get done. Creation. As Psalm 100 says, it is it is He who made us and not we ourselves. We didn't have anything to do with us showing up, you know, as physical creatures. The grace of God, the incarnation, Jesus being born and on His rescue mission by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary. What did Mary do? She was afraid and she said, you know, let the Lord do whatever He wants to do. I'm His servant. That's a good model for us. The incarnation, the grace of God, the cross of Christ. What did we contribute to that? Only the nails in Jesus' hands and feet. The grace of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, given for you and me. Fantastic. Resurrection from the dead. There were no Christians sitting around praying, you know, get up out of that tomb, Jesus. We know you could do it. Jesus rose from the dead. He said, the gift. And He said, go get Peter. He's still running. How about Pentecost? Coming in the Holy Spirit upon the church. Again, the gift of God given. Regeneration. Did you have anything to do with yourself being born? How did you cause yourself to be born again? You didn't cause yourself to be born again. You asked God, make me born again. Because you couldn't do it on your own. Sanctification. Walking with God. Ron was saying the progress of one step at a time. By the power of God and His Spirit leading the way. And the second coming, that'll be a gift of God alone and not within the power of man. Not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit and God will send. Here's another good picture of the grace of God. The percentage of people in heaven by God's law. You should think of this. How many are in heaven because, you know, of the things they've done that were good, following God's law? The answer to that question, zero. Zero people in heaven because of God's law. And we should know that. And the law is good. The law is holy. We don't throw it out. It has a purpose. It points us to Jesus. How about this one? Percentage of people in heaven by God's grace. 100%. The citizens of heaven by the gift of God through Christ. And another good picture of the grace of God is that God's law, which is holy and right, you know, love God, love your neighbor. That's the railroad tracks we want to get on to honor Him. We're the train. The train doesn't go anywhere unless it has some power. And the power to move the train is the gospel, who Jesus is, the gift of salvation, His Holy Spirit. And we say, thank you, Lord. By the grace of God, I am what I am. The grace of God is so powerful that even when we see sin in the world or in another believer or even in our own soul, it doesn't have to hold us tight. And we usually end up saying about the sin around us, there but for the grace of God go I. Isn't that true that we say? We could see ourselves making a mess of everything in the same way, and how we need Christ and His forgiveness. One closing illustration, the power of God's grace. Man goes to heaven and is greeted by the Lord. And he says, I think I passed the test to go to heaven. And Jesus said, well, you need 100 points to go to heaven. And he says, well, I've done a lot of whole bunch of good things. Jesus says, tell me about it. He says, I've been a fantastic husband for 60 years and a good Christian father. Jesus said, that's fantastic. That's what I wanted you to do. I helped you do that. That's 2 points. Okay, 2 points. 98 left. Do you know, he said, but I opened up a homeless shelter right on in my neighborhood and fed and clothed people for 40 years. Jesus said, fantastic. 2 more points for you. That's what I created you to do. He says, well, Jesus, I went to church 60 years, never missed a Sunday or Sunday school class. I mean, I was there. And Jesus said, fantastic, 2 more points. And the man, he's running out of things to say. And so finally he says, you know, the only way I'm going to get to heaven is by the grace of God. Jesus said, that's why I came. you know, because you cannot make it on your own. You cannot walk with me on your own. Just like you need Jesus for salvation, we need him for that work ethic. Healthy believer. Thank you, Lord, for what you mean to us. Might we have our walk with the Lord, fueled by him, the undeserved favor of God in our lives. And let's pray as we have ready for baptism, which is really a picture of the grace of God, you know, Jesus dying and rising from the dead. And we're going to prepare. If you'd pray with me, please. Lord, we pray for our baptism time, that you'd be honored. We're so glad for lives given over to you that you engineered. And so this is amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved wretches like us. And we pray for folks hurting. We pray for Jeff Prindle. Give him health. For Dennis Giornelli, Lord, give good news and continuous remission of cancer away from his body. For the Mugley family, bless them. For mission trip folks heading out very soon, we pray for, Lord, our economy, that we would be good stewards. You'd open doors for work. Pray, Lord, for the soldiers in Afghanistan. Bring them home soon with mission accomplished. We remember Mrs. Stanley today. Give her encouragement and your love. And Father, for the families in Connecticut, continue to give comfort and closeness to yourself and those New York and New Jersey lost loved ones in the storm. And in our silence, might we know we're loved by you, and the grace is sufficient to lead us to glad obedience as Paul did. In your name we pray. Amen.